If you love to travel, Capital One has a rewards credit card that's perfect for you. With the Capital One Venture X card, you earn unlimited double miles on everything you buy. Plus, you get premium benefits at a collection of luxury hotels when you book on Capital One Travel. And with Venture X, you get access to over 1,000 airport lounges worldwide. Open up a world of travel possibilities with the Capital One Venture X card. What's in your wallet?
Terms apply. Lounge access is subject to change. See CapitalOne.com for details.
Merkle Media.
At the end of the day, we have the power. We're in control. Believe it or not, we're in control. Without us, they got nothing. Without us, they don't get their finest shrimp on the table every day. Without us, they don't get their goods and services delivered to their mansions and their castles. Right. Without us, they're nothing. And as soon as we understand that as a global citizenry, that without us, they're nothing, the level playing field begins.
In park, threw open the driver's door, ran out the side of the car, across the front of it, and jumped right off the side of the bridge in front of me.
The only people who really pulled over were truckers.
He said, "We're going Hodge," and he didn't slow down. He went across the median onto the oncoming traffic, but where they could see him coming, they just got out of the way.
I noticed this plane was really low. It went right in front of us, hit the fence, and it spun around. You know, 30 seconds more, he could have hit us.
And I went around that truck, and a guy stepped out from behind the truck and threw a piece of wood, and it shot through my window just like a spear and stuck in the back of the cab of my truck.
That's probably one of the stranger things I've seen.
Welcome to the show, everybody. You're listening to Hammer Lane Legends. I'm your host, Tony Merkel.
And I am Brian Merkel.
And we're really glad you're here. If you have a crazy, wild story you want to share with us on the show from the road, go ahead and shoot us an email. Our email address is hllpodcast@protonmail.com. That's hllpodcast@protonmail.com. Or go to the website, hammerlanelegends.com. Hit the contact section and you can reach us that way as well. Either way works for us. Just get a hold of us. We have a voicemail I literally just said to myself in my brain, Tony, you're really going smooth today. This is going well. And then I stumbled. Anyways, before I make a mess of the show anymore, Dad, we have a voicemail line. Can you tell them about it?
I certainly can. We have a voicemail line. If you've got a 5 or 10 minute story you'd like to share with us from the road, shoot us a voicemail. It's 515-585-MERK. That's 515-585-6375. And let us know. Give us a shout out. Give us a freaking holler.
Give us a holler. Give us a shout out. Give us a call. The voicemail line has been a little quiet recently, so go ahead and give us a call. We're trying to collect some voicemails to be able to do a full voicemail show. Maybe we'll even throw some voicemails in today. Who knows? We'll see what happens. But that said, friends, you guys have heard about the truckers up in Canada. If you have any idea of the impact that that will have on economy and supply, it's a lot. And so make sure you and your family are prepared for these kind of situations. We've been talking about this for quite some time, preparewithhll.com. And it's for these kind of situations. So hopefully you guys have been listening to us and getting yourselves prepared, because now is the time that you're going to want to wish that you had it if you don't have it.
I mean, that is for sure.
The store shelves are bare. They're going to get bare. I think it's 28% of all supplies that we import into this country come from the Canadian border.
Isn't that crazy? So who'd have thunk?
Who would have thunk it? But here we are, and it's completely shut down. The drivers aren't doing their deliveries. They're doing their thing up there. And so what is it going to do? It's going to hurt us for sure. It's going to hurt us. And we're going to get into this. We actually absolutely support the truckers
100%.
Up there. But the reality is there is there's things that are going to happen as a result of that. And barer store shelves is one of them.
Yep. Let this be a wake-up call.
Yeah, seriously.
Let this be a wake-up call, America.
Do I think we're going to have completely bare shelves forever? No. But with the inflation the way it is, the supplies being cut low, it's just not a good situation all around. So... and like I say to you guys several times and stuff, I'm not fear-mongering, you know, just being honest with you. If this scares you, it should. So prepare with HLL.com. There you can get yourself emergency supply food. The food will last up to 25 years on the shelf. We have deals there. You'll save money by using our website, Prepare with HLL, and you'll get survival gear. So if you are somebody who really wants to be prepared, just in case you need to go off-grid, we have all the gear you need right there at preparewithhll.com. We also have buymeacoffee.com/hammerlane. Keep us caffeinated, right, Dad?
You got that right. My drum is getting empty.
Yeah.
Supply chains, you know?
The supply chain. the supply is low.
The coffee's not coming in like it was.
The supply is low. So keep Dad caffeinated. Keep him rolling down the highway at night. When you're sleeping, he's driving. If any of you have driven at night, that we have a listening audience, a lot of listening audience, I don't think actually even drives a truck. They listen because they just like my dad's voice.
Right.
You know, if you have driven at night and you start, like, as soon as the sun goes down and you start yawning because the sun went down and you're tired, you know, well, he does that all night. So while you're sleeping, he's driving. So, you know, just give him a couple buckets of caffeine and
there you go.
And he'll be good. So buymeacoffee.com/hammerlane. Gracias. That was really bad, but it is what
Muchas
it is.
Gracias.
Yeah. You got to roll those R's and I can't roll R's.
Yeah, not rolling nothing.
Yeah, it is what it is. All right. So we don't have a guest for today's show. Things have just been a little rough here on the scheduling side
for
us.
Crazy. Yeah. It's really been strange.
And today we had two people that we were going to interview and both had to cancel for their own reasons.
Yeah.
And I contacted another guy that we were trying to get on and he said no because of the Super Bowl. So, you know, we're left just kind of like hanging out here. And, Dad, what's your favorite color?
Blue.
I mean, so we're trying to just, we're going to put a show together here for people, without a guest. I think we'll be fine doing that. I think one of the things we should definitely talk about at some point, we don't have to do it right now if we don't want to, but I probably will. All right, let's just bring it up. The Canadian truckers.
There you go.
I guess we'll start out with just what are your thoughts on the whole thing? I mean, it popped off 2 weeks ago, really. Mm-hmm. There was leading up to it. I didn't really pay much attention to it until it actually happened.
Right.
But I remember you texting, I think, me and Jack about it. And that's when I really started paying attention to it all. How are you feeling about it all?
You know what? I think that I support them. I do. I think people need autonomy. That the whole thrust of this thing began with the whole vaccine mandates up there. And they were like, look, we're just not having it. Nobody, including this government, gets an opportunity to tell me what I have to put into my body. And I think there's a lot of support from a lot of the Canadian people for what they're looking at, what they're fighting for, what they're doing this for. And I think it's important. I think it's important that anybody who is a free thinker and anybody in, you know, not just in Canada, but I think anywhere who's a free thinker should support that idea. Look, whether you like the idea of the vaccines or you don't like the idea of the vaccines, whether you support people taking the vaccine or you don't, you know, I'm ambivalent on them. My attitude is, you know, if you want to, go ahead. If you don't want to, go ahead. You're okay. You know, there should be no mandates. Nobody gets to tell you what you do with your body. You know, if it's my body, my choice for everything else in this world, it should be my body, my choice for this.
Yeah. I mean, and, you know, in all honesty, the way things are going right now with the Joe Rogan stuff, have you heard about that?
I certainly have.
Okay. Like, just having this conversation could get this show canceled.
Right.
You know?
I know.
It's...
That's what's sad.
It's crazy. And so, like, there's a reason why they're going after Joe Rogan. And it's because if they can take down the great white whale, mm-hmm. nobody stands a chance.
That's right.
You know? So, I hope Joe does what we all hope. You don't know how you're going to react to a situation it's like this whole situation right now with Joe. It's his situation. Yes. It's his problem. He's the one going through. We can be over here saying this is what he should do and this, that, and the other, but until you're actually going through it,
right?
Like, don't tell me what to do kind of thing. You know, I just, on the outside looking in, really hope that Joe, and I think he does. I I'm friends with some of Joe's friends. Mm-hmm. So like I do have like a little bit of a look into what is going on, and Joe sees it for what it is.
Right.
And I just don't know what he's planning to do about it.
Sure. Sure. I mean, none of us do. You know, right. We don't have a crystal ball.
But the way he's been slandered, anywhere from CNN to the White House, I mean, asking, basically suggesting Spotify should do something about their Joe Rogan problem.
Right.
I mean, the First Amendment, anybody listening that's not American, it guarantees our right to freedom of speech.
Yes, it does.
And we have our federal government saying that basically Joe shouldn't have that right.
Yeah, well, what they're saying, what our federal government is saying is that if you don't agree with us, then you don't deserve a platform.
Yeah.
And that's just not right. That is the most un-American thing I've ever heard a president or an administration ever say or do.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Because it's anti-Constitution.
Yeah.
It's anti-American.
Yeah, it's very much.
Yes, and that is what is so disheartening and so frustrating about all of this COVID talk, which is all fine and dandy. Have your opinion and voice your opinion.
Yeah, I mean, like,
but you don't get to force your opinion on me because you think that's what I should do. Whether you're Jen Psaki or whether you're Joe Biden or whether you're Joe Schmo down the street.
I never told when this whole thing started happening, everything's happening, you know, down from beginning of 2020 on, I've always told people, make your own decisions.
That's right.
I've always did that from beginning to now, because one, people were asking me what I think and stuff.
Right.
And I don't want what I think to be what you think.
That's right.
I have my own situation here, mm-hmm. you know? And early on, I mean, Dad, like, it's over a year now. We had that family phone call where I was telling you guys, listen, this is where it's going to go. Mm-hmm. They're going to start doing they're going to do vaccine mandates, the vaccine passports, right. the ESG scores, all that stuff. And I told you that I was going to move. Right. I'm moving now.
Yes.
But I don't expect everybody to move.
Mm-hmm.
I don't expect everybody to quit their jobs. You know, right. Fortunately for me, the situation happened where I quit my job is because I had another income to go to.
Sure.
It wasn't because of anything going on in the world per se. But I always tell people to make your own decision. When it came to the vaccines, I'm like, you don't want to make a decision based off of my opinion, because right. if I'm wrong, you're going to hate yourself because you just listened to some goofball on a podcast and all of a sudden you're wishing you got the vaccine or you didn't get the vaccine.
Right.
Like, nobody makes those decisions except for you. And so many, like our world, our culture, our society, and we'll get back to the truckers, everybody. We're just having a free flowing conversation. So much of our world globally has been manipulated and trained to not think for themselves and just tell me what to believe, tell me what to think, tell me what to do.
Mm-hmm.
That's the way they want it. I don't do that.
Right.
You know? And so, like, I make my decisions. And I stick with them. Mm. And I just suggest everybody else to do the same thing. And that is a long way of saying, we're not doctors. We're not telling you that you should take the vaccine or not take the vaccine. We're just saying, think for yourself and talk to people that you trust.
And do your own homework.
Do your own homework.
Do your own homework. Do yourself a favor and start looking this stuff up and learning it for yourself. Because this is not just a decision to take a vaccine or not take a vaccine. This is a decision to inject something into your body.
That's experimental.
I totally agree with you. You know, you need to make a decision for yourself based on what you know.
Yeah.
Don't make a decision based in ignorance.
And this is where I would say also, don't make a decision because your government told you you have to.
Exactly.
And that's what the whole trucker thing is about up north.
Exactly what it's about.
Like, these guys are being told that they need to be vaccinated or they can't work.
Right. Because then they can't get a passport to come back and forth across the border and they can't work within their own country.
So,
is that not a sad thing?
That's a very sad thing.
Within your own country?
That said, let me sidetrack again. We'll come back. There is the technology side of what's going on. Right. We are being ushered into a brand new world right now.
Most definitely.
And people, I think this is so relevant to any type of podcast you have. It affects everybody where they're at in life, even the truckers. So there was a trucker that was approaching the Canadian border from the United States side going back to Canada. Mm-hmm. And he pulls up his app showing that he's vaccinated and his information so he can get back through the border. Mm-hmm. And the officer at the border says, "You can put that away. I don't need that." And he's like, "Don't you need to check this?" And he said, "We already have your information. As soon as you get to be like a quarter mile from here, all that information gets sent to us."
Wow.
That's the kind of world we're being ushered into. Like, we're going into a surveillance state.
Most definitely.
And China's the model for it. Mm-hmm. China's been doing this to their citizens for years. In China, they have a social credit system.
Yep.
They have smart cities. Smart cities is something that I believe, I don't know about globally, but here in the United States, I think there are people who run cities who want their cities to become smart cities. Mm-hmm. It's easier to surveil the citizens. But China has these smart cities where basically there's a lot that goes into it. But one of the main things is they literally have cameras everywhere that does facial recognition.
Yes.
And, you know, Charlie Robinson for Macroaggressions, if you guys are looking for a new podcast to listen to, I suggest listening to that if you're jiving with this conversation so far the last 15 minutes. But Charlie Robinson uses this example on his podcast, one of the older episodes. And this is true. This has actually happened. Mm-hmm. If a Chinese man got on the bus smoking a cigarette, the facial recognition would see that. He would already immediately get fined. Mm-hmm. By the time he gets off that bus, he's fined. But the thing is,
not just fined, the money is already taken out of his account.
Taken out, right?
It's not just an automatic ticket.
And it's already done. It's not like you can challenge it. It's not like you can be like, "Well, I'm not going to pay it." No, you have no choice. But also, your social credit score goes down. Mm-hmm. And when your social credit score goes down, now people aren't socializing with you, because if they're around you socializing with you and these facial recognition see that Brian's talking to Tony and Tony's like a sub-zero because he's freaking, if my social credit is going to be like
in the hole.
Yeah. Like negative 10, you know?
Right.
Like if it was 1 out of 10, I'm negative 10.
Right.
But because you're socializing with me, now your score goes down. So people are going to avoid this man who is smoking on the bus. So it's their way of keeping people in check.
Yes, it is.
And that's just one aspect of the smart city. That, I think, is going to come here. I think there's a reason why it seemed like the last 2 years, some of these cities' mayors were almost like they wanted their city to get trashed and go to hell. And I think it's because they wanted the money to move and leave. So all there was left was poor people, homeless people, people who, when you don't have money, you don't have a voice.
Right.
And they can do what they want then.
That's true.
And so we're going into that direction right now with people. And that's why you hear me talking on the show about automation. We're going to get into that at some
sure
point here. I got my thoughts about that with what's going on, but the technology side of this world is ramping up on so many different levels, angles. You got the metaverse. So this trucker approaching the border, and they already had his information,
right?
Like, that's going to be common. And I think it's going to be so common that my kids aren't going to know a world that's not normal.
Right.
And that scares me.
Oh yeah. Me too.
That scares me. So yeah, where do we want to go from here?
Well, I mean, you know, when you look at all these things and you look at, you know, like you start to hear, because the truckers are on strike, well, now we're going to start looking at automation. We're going to start taking a look at this, and we're going to look at it really hard. And, you know, it's going to start getting pushed in your media realm of what we see.
So first of all, I would say, this, and it's totally off topic, but somebody messaged me somewhere online. And I didn't answer. And if you're listening right now, it wasn't like what I'm about to say isn't directed at you. I just didn't answer because I don't have time to enter into philosophical answering.
Right.
You know, but sure. somebody sent me, it was like a meme listing the names of the organizers of this convoy and the bad things they stand for kind of thing. And like, we're trying to get Benjamin on the show. There's a possibility I still might be able to interview Benjamin,
right,
who's an organizer. And next to his was like something about terrorists or not, or Islamic. It's just trying to paint these people bad image wise. Sure. I'm just going to tell you guys, your eyes aren't lying. Believe what you're seeing. Okay. Like what you're seeing, not what they're telling you,
right,
not what the media is saying is happening. Believe what your eyes are seeing, because right now what my eyes are seeing, and maybe you need to be informed as to some sources to follow.
Right.
I would suggest people follow Rebel News. It's an organization of on the ground journalists. They're not in their CNN studios. They're not in their Fox News studios sitting in their ivory tower telling you what's going on in the world and how you should think about it. Rebel News, they go on the ground where the action is. They shoot video, they interview people, and they give you the information directly from the situation.
Right.
That you can trust.
Mm-hmm.
Trust your eyes.
Yep.
What we're seeing going on in Canada right now is... they say there's at least 100 truckers that brought their children with them.
Right.
Now that I'm the kind of guy that I believe that civil disobedience is never wrong.
Yeah, I agree. As long as it's done in a civil way.
And if I'm given what we've seen the last 2 years with our cities, if I'm going to go to a protest,
right,
in America, not talking about Canada, in America, and it's a good vibe and we just want to go protest, I'm still not bringing my kids.
Right.
Because I know what it could turn into.
Sure. Sure.
You know, the fact that there's at least 100 drivers that felt so confident that this is going to be a peaceful protest that they brought their little children, their wives, their families.
Right.
And they are blowing up bouncy castles. So the kids are playing, they have music playing. They're honking their horns.
Right.
And they're trying to say that's violence.
Right.
Like, believe what your eyes are showing you. And if you're turning on CNN, it's not on Fox News. I know it's not on Fox News, but you're listening to a guy who doesn't like Fox News a whole lot either.
Mm-hmm.
But if you're listening to these news media and I believe your eyes. Okay, Tony, I saw a Nazi flag. I saw, and it's like you saw a
Nazi
flag. And what you saw, if you would have saw the whole clip, you would have saw the truckers go to that guy, rip his mask off and kick his ass out of the group because he was a plant.
Right.
They plant these people so they can shoot video of them and say these people are racist.
Right.
The reality is there's countless video of people at these protests saying their reason for being there is all peace and love. Mm-hmm. They just want love and peace and their lives back. That's all they want.
Yep.
That's simple. All they want.
Simple.
And I don't know how I got on all that. I'll pass it on to you.
Well, no, I mean, let's be honest. I mean, stop letting people gaslight you. That's why you're told. Yeah. That's why we tell people all the time. Do your own homework. Look into this stuff yourself. Don't trust what somebody else is telling you. Look it up yourself and find out. And that way you can't be gaslighted. Then you'll know when somebody is gaslighting you. You'll know when your news media organizations are gaslighting you and telling you, no, don't believe your eyes. Believe what we're telling you. No, do it yourself. Do it yourself. You have all the tools in your hand, at hand, for you to look this stuff up and understand it for yourself and actually do some of the things like follow some of these people, follow some of this, the reporting that's going on from Canada, from these
people
on the ground, boots on the ground, people who are looking at this stuff, and you'll know what's going on.
Yeah. That's what I like. So you and I were just talking before we went recording here about Tim Pool.
Right.
Now I absolutely love Tim Pool. We don't agree on things politically a lot. We do a lot too.
Right.
But he started out on the ground.
Mm-hmm.
and you see how he looks at the world around him, and it shows that he is somebody who has a lot of experience being in the action. He's traveled the world being in the action.
Right.
And that's why I tell people to check out Rebel News, because Rebel News is exactly that. They're in the action and bringing it to you. And in Australia too. They're doing it in Australia. So, you know, it's just, for me, it's really important for people to understand. And I think people are understanding.
Yeah.
I think people, especially people who maybe follow me, probably have the same mindset as me. And if you don't, you're probably, I don't know, you
hate yourself or something.
No. Because, no, I mean, like,
I mean, why would I follow somebody I don't agree with you?
Right, right. But then, it's like,
that's the thing, like, a self-flagellation.
So, like, I don't, because of my other show, I don't really go into this stuff a whole lot.
Right.
So, because it's my income and I'm trying to make sure I can pay my bills. But it's also a paranormal show. Isn't really the alley, you know, lane. But, the people that follow me that aren't totally aware of how I think on things, maybe right now they're thinking, oh my Lord,
right?
Listen, I'm just telling you, honest God truth. You're being fooled if you think I'm lying to you.
Right.
Cause I ain't lying to you. Right. Anyways, check out Rebel News. I said it a million times, but I'm trying to promote them right now and they don't even know who I am.
Right. Exactly.
I would highly suggest people check out Rebel News and Tim Pool on YouTube. Look his website up, timcast.com, because he has his own news organization he's building. He has journalists. He's hiring real journalists that do real journalism. They're not your hornalists. They don't whore themselves out to the highest bidder.
Right.
They're actually journalists and they write real news. Anything they put on their website is because they verified it. There's been plenty of stories that they could have put up that they didn't because they couldn't verify it, that they missed out on because it was true, but they don't play that. So I would highly suggest people checking out, follow Rebel News on Instagram and Hammerland Legends on Instagram, by the way.
Yeah,
but
most definitely
follow Rebel News on Instagram. That's where you're going to find a lot of great videos and stuff. And they just bring the truth. Like they have no angle. They have no angle. Cause if they had an angle, they wouldn't show the people. Like there was the thing with the whole statue thing that they were talking about up in Canada, where it was like, they're desecrating our statues and this, that, and the other. And the other side's like, no, we're not, la, 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 la. So that clash there, like, but if Rebel News was trying to angle things for the truckers, they wouldn't have shown the trucker standing around these, like this one statue, like having a party and just kind of like, if you're looking at it through the lens of, you know, respecting the history of your country, I could see how people are like, well, that's not very respectful of the history of our country. If Rebel News was trying to portray a certain image, they wouldn't have shown that video. They're just showing you what happens out there.
What's going
on. And what I saw, by the way, the clip I'm referring to, it wasn't a big deal to me. Mm-hmm. Like, and I think what they were talking about when they were saying that they were desecrating a statue, I think what they did was they put a Canadian flag on the statue's hand and they put clothes on the statue or something like that. Mm. That's abuse, right?
That's desecration.
Yeah. I could be wrong though. Maybe there was somebody who, like, you know, I don't know, lit one on fire or something. Maybe I'm wrong. But anyways, check those people out, Tim Cast and Rebel News for sure. Dad, I brought up the fact that these truckers are bringing their kids.
Right.
How would you feel if your government decided to possibly take said kids away because of your civil disobedience?
I see that. That's where it's so wrong. It is so wrong if they do that, if they go down that road. What they're doing is they're asking for problems, and it's just a bad idea. You know, since when is you exercising your charter rights, as they call them in Canada, or your constitutional rights here in the United States? When is that illegal? And what gives the government the right to maneuver that way just to get you to do? See, this is the problem with power. This is the problem with power, no matter who you are. If you think you could run the government better, I'll guarantee you, you're not ever going to be able to, because you're just as flawed as the people who are running it now. This is what power does. And that is why our framers of our Constitution and this country set it up that there was three branches of government.
People
took all three to work together. You know, no one person, no one group has all the power, because these are the kind of things that can happen. And when power, it just corrupts. I'm sorry, it just does. Power is a corrupting thing. And that is so sad. And if this is what they want to do, that's horrid.
Yeah.
That is horrid. That's just how I look at it.
Well, coming from timcast.com, it's what they want to do, apparently, or they're venturing into that thought process. So let's just cover this article here, since I pulled it up here, timcast.com. If you, let's see here, if you click on at the top there of the website, it says Freedom Convoy on the tabs. If you click on Freedom Convoy, the article is in there. Title of the article is Ottawa Police Say They Have Enlisted Help of Children's Services Have Not Ruled Out Taking Truckers' Children. Mm.
That is just disgusting.
Blood boiling.
Yep.
The government has not ruled out taking their children away. True North News reports that over 100 truckers involved in the demonstration brought their children with them, according to estimates, which is what we were talking about earlier.
Right.
Like, if I was expecting things to go sideways, I would never bring my babies.
Right.
And I'm seeing pictures and videos of children, not only teenagers, but I'm talking like 6, 7, 8 year olds,
right.
You know, like, you don't bring your babies to a gunfight, right. You know, you keep them at home. So it tells you the mindset and the philosophy, of these guys going into this whole thing. Like, they're not expecting things to get out of hand. They don't want violence. They don't want it, because if they did, they're not bringing their babies.
Right.
So, it goes on to say the police have asked child welfare agencies for advice on how to handle the situation as the city prepares to crack down on protests. This is a quote. Almost 25% of the 418 trucks, small minority, right, Dan?
Oh, yeah, very small.
Do people have to understand? Do you understand how many 418 trucks are?
Do you know how much room that is? Do you know how much room that takes up to bring 418 trucks together in one
place? And that's just in Ottawa. This is happening all over the country. The Ambassador Bridge. That the first episode, the guy who saw somebody jump off the ambassador bridge.
That
shut down on both sides, the American side and the Canadian side.
Right.
And so, like, this is happening everywhere. So 418 trucks. So it's a lot. It's a whole lot.
In Ottawa. I mean, it's not like they're parked, a mile outside of town and everybody walked in, you know?
If you guys want to have some fun, go on Google Maps, look up Ottawa and see the traffic jam that's going on. They have like several streets just like shut. Like, so we talked about on the show before how I was a Google Maps navigator, right?
Mm-hmm.
So I'm a pro at it. Like, I mean, street view, all that stuff.
Right.
One of the things is they have like these hash marks on the roads on the Google Maps when a road shut down.
Mm-hmm.
It's all over the city.
The whole city is just one big hash mark.
Yeah, Google's like, the whole city's under construction. The truckers, that's not what's going on. We're just doing construction down here. Let me start over here. Almost 25% of the 418 trucks have children living in them. Children who could be at risk during a police operation. So they're saying that these kids could be at risk if the police had to come in with their batons and things might get out of hand, kind of thing. Well, the truckers don't want things to get out of hand.
Right.
The truckers aren't asking for the police to come and get things out of hand and escalate things. That's why they brought their kids, because they listen. I tell people things like right now we are a moment in history.
Yes.
Where you have to, not have to, like, people don't have to choose to put themselves in this fight, right?
Mm-hmm.
But one thing's for sure, I'm 36, and one day I'm going to have my grandbabies come over to my house.
Right.
And they're going to be 12, 13, 14 years old.
Mm-hmm.
And they're going to be learning about history.
Right.
And they're going to be learning about this thing called the Freedom Convoy that revolutionized and saved the world.
Right.
And I want a damn good story to tell them about it.
Right.
I don't want to be like, oh, yeah, that. yeah, things worked out, but granddaddy was scared to do anything and say anything about it.
So, you know, you stopped yourself when you said you have to make a decision. No, you do have to. You're on one side of this argument or you're on the other
side.
It's
crazy to say that.
Yeah,
though.
I'm sorry, but that is it. That's like, a fact.
No, everybody, it is. I know.
Everybody is engaged in this thing. And either you're on the side of truck drivers and you're on the side of freedom, or you're on the side that says, oh, no, you know, we shouldn't rock the boat. We should just let the government do whatever it wants to do. And we need to be pacifists. And we need to just let the government run all over us.
I guess I stopped myself because I always rule on the side of I don't want to tell people what to think and what to do. Right.
I don't either. But so, you have to make a decision on one side or the other. You have
right,
a choice.
You're right. I think I think with what's going on, there isn't really much of a third option here.
There's not. There's no gray area on this.
Yeah. And so anyways, so 25% of the 418 trucks have children. So they're trying to paint this image of, you know, police moving in, things get crazy, the kids could get hurt. So let's talk to child services about how we can handle this, right? Speaking to reporters, Bell, I don't know who Bell is, but speaking to reporters, Bell said that while they're not at the point of seizing the truckers' children yet, they are not ruling it out as an option. We're not at the stage of looking to do any sort of enforcement activity around that, Bell said. We just think it's an important factor that complicates and makes this an even more challenging operation.
It's not a challenging operation. You know what the sad part of all of this is all of this, and let me stress that again, all of this could have been avoided had the government of Canada sat down with the citizens that they're supposed
they still can
to rule
they still can
over, that the citizenry elected them to rule and actually hash this thing out, this would all have been avoided.
All of it.
And that's the problem, is that these governments think that they have all the answers, that are going to tell you what to do with your life and how to live it. And rather than sit down and talk with their people, they just want to rule from an ivory tower where these guys get to tell you, you can't go out to eat, but I'm going to go sit my butt in a restaurant with my family and eat. This is what goes on in the United States. It's what we saw at the beginning of this whole coronavirus bullcrap. And we saw politicians doing that kind of crap. And we didn't like it. And we sat and we watched this stuff. And this is the kind of, this is the attitude that today's politicians have. They're above everybody else. And they're not. They're elected by the rest of us, at least in this country, and from what I gather, in Canada.
Yeah, they're elected. I don't know how Trudeau got elected, but...
I don't either. But apparently the people in Canada elected him. I mean, you know, you say that and look around us, you know.
Yeah.
Enough said. You know.
But here's the thing. So this whole topic of taking children on this
disgusting
thing. So first of all, the truckers, like I said a million times, I'll say again, maybe again after this, they were not expecting violence. They're not expecting.
They're still not.
They don't want violence. They want peace, love, and happiness, baby. That's why they brought their babies.
Right.
Now, if the idea of taking the children from the truckers becomes a reality, this is what they're going to pursue, because they're trying a lot of other things to shut this down, right? Now, I guarantee you, it's not about the operation and the kids' safety that they're doing this and bringing this up. They're doing this because they tried taking the gas, all this stuff, and now they're trying to operate underneath this threat. It's a threat that if we do this operation with the kids could get hurt, but what it is they're trying to deter the truckers. So they get the truckers are like, cause here's the thing. So like they're hoping that the truckers will go home because they don't want to lose their kids.
Right. Right.
Here's the thing. I think what the truckers need to do, I think probably of the 100 truckers that brought kids, I think a majority of them, if you bring in your kids, you have a spouse that's there as well.
Right.
What I think they need to do, and it's just me, I might be wrong, but I think what the best thing for this situation to at this point, I think you need to send your kids and your wives or your husbands home.
Right.
Send the kids home. You keep the truck there. And then at that point, let's see what happens.
Right.
So if you can send the kids home, then there's no kids to take. That threat's off the table. Mm-hmm. The next thing is because there's no kids, will they do their quote unquote operation? We'll see. The thing is with that is, if you do your operation, I don't know what that entails, but I imagine it entails taking the operator of these vehicles and trying to put them in jail or whatever, arresting them. Good luck moving these trucks.
Right. Right.
Because if I was a driver and I saw the operation coming, I'm taking that key and I'm chucking it.
Yep.
Now the truck ain't moving.
Right.
And if it moves, it's going to take hours just to move one. And you got 418 to go.
Yep.
So what were you going to say? I'm sorry.
No, that's okay. I was just going to bring up the seizing of all the money that was sent.
Yeah.
All the support money through GoFundMe. And I forget what the other one is called.
Give, Send, Go.
You know, this is the stuff that I just find so detestable that these governments do, is it's just this idea of, we're the government. We're going to tell you what to do. And that's the way it's going to be. And you cannot even raise money if we say you can't raise money. It's like, I my brain just can't wrap around this stuff anymore. It just can't.
So the GoFundMe, we're going to say some things that maybe is like old news, but just in case somebody doesn't know,
right?
They were raising money through GoFundMe, mm-hmm. and they raised $10 million. And then the GoFundMe worked with the Canadian government and cut off the funding. And initially they were going to say that they were going to work with the organizers and GoFundMe to take that $10 million and give it to a charity of their choice. That is jacked up, because I didn't give my...
Right.
You don't give money to somebody and then that person take that money and give it to an organization that you may don't align with. Like, imagine if they gave it to...
Well, especially when the original intent of the money was to help the people that you're sending it to, help them because they're innocent. But now the government steps in and says, well, now all you can do... No, you don't get a chance. You don't have the opportunity to tell me what I do with my money or with myself, with my body. This is the whole point of the autonomy of the human being.
They want to control you.
They do. They want to control everything.
Your money, your body, your thoughts,
yes,
your speech, everything.
And that's what drives me crazy. That is the stuff that I look at, and it's like, this is what today's world has rolled over and said okay to. It's okay to do whatever you want to do.
Yeah. And I think we're rolling over again and getting on the right side, and we're like, okay, now we're back and we're waking up to this nonsense. Right. But GoFundMe worked with the Canadian government, and this isn't the first time GoFundMe has done this. That's why I hope I get to talk to Benjamin. I might actually be able to talk to him tomorrow morning.
Right.
We'll see. But this is why I wanted to bring this up to him when we talked to him, but then it was too late. GoFundMe has done this before.
Yes, they have.
They're known for this. And so I told my wife when I saw that they were using GoFundMe, I was like, I really hope that they have something figured out, because GoFundMe is not going to let this continue.
Right.
And sure enough, like the next day it happened.
Right.
So they started using a company called Give, Send, Go, which is a Christian organization. And it was pretty much a nothing organization, to be honest with you, before this. They started blowing up. But there's rumors and stuff going around saying that the Canadian government is not going to let the Give, Send, Go money, because they've raised almost $10 million through Give, Send, Go now.
Right.
That's $20 million total.
Right.
The Canadian government was going to cut off the funds and not allow the funds to
get to the people.
Right. They weren't going to let Give, Send, Go to give it to the Canadian organizers.
Right.
Now, what I'll say this is, Give, Send, Go is fighting back against this, and they are actually saying some things different. So right, there's a tweet that they put out today that says, please push this out there. The funds from the Freedom Convoy are not frozen, contrary to what you might be hearing on the news. Give, Send, Go is working with many different campaign organizers to find the most effective legal ways to continue funds flowing. So Give, Send, Go is looking to keep the funds going the most legal way possible. They're not interested in breaking the law. Here's what's going to happen. And you're going to say, well, hopefully you don't say this, because hopefully you're jiving with me, but here's what's going to happen. Mm-hmm. I think Give, Send, Go is going to find the most legal, efficient way to get the funds to the organizers.
Right.
Once that money's in Canada in their bank account, I think the Canadian government's going to go in their bank account and put a wall there and like, you cannot use this money.
Right.
You know, and anybody who thinks that's extreme and crazy and stuff, it's not.
Nope.
And I would even say here in America, I think it's a possibility those things happen through the ESG scores and things like that. Mm-hmm. If you don't know about ESG scores, just look it up, learn about it. It's the social credit system of this country. See, where was I going now? What was I saying before that? Before ESG scores?
About how they can block off your...
Oh, yeah. So I'll just say this. The government was giving out free money to American citizens during the COVID stuff. Even if you didn't want it, you were getting money. You were getting child credits, all that stuff. If I had a choice, I would, if they gave me an option to opt out of it, mm-hmm. and maybe there was an option, I just don't know about it, but I didn't know there was an option. If there was an option, they were just automatically putting money without asking me into my account. Right. Because shouldn't everybody want free money? I didn't want free money. I didn't need it.
Right.
But they were putting that money into my business account.
Mm-hmm.
And as far as I know, they should not have access to my business account. My personal account is the one I do through my taxes and everything. I'm baffled as to how they had access to my business account.
Right.
And it just tells me that if they want to, they can confiscate my money.
Sure. That's exactly right.
And I think if you think that's crazy, look at Greece. What was it like? 7 years ago, eight years ago?
Just a few years ago.
I believe they confiscated the citizens' money out of their bank account because they were going bankrupt and they needed the money. They just took
the
money.
They froze it all. Yep. Yep.
I mean, nothing's impossible in this world anymore.
Nope.
And with the Great Reset coming, you're living in a brave new world. Oh, read that book. What were you going to say?
Oh, that's right. I was going to say, you know, I mean, when you're talking about the banking industry, when you talk about banking in this country, it's not even in this country, it's nuts. Mm-hmm. I got a letter from my bank a couple of months ago because I moved six times. I transferred money from my savings account to my checking account.
That was too many?
It was too many. And if it continued, then I would be checked out by the IRS. I would have been. It's like, I mean, are you crazy? They would have frozen my accounts because apparently that makes me a drug dealer, because I'm trying to take money from my savings account, put it in my checking account to make sure I can cover.
It's your money.
It's my money in my accounts. What?
You might as well just.
But it's not my money.
Here's the thing. So here's the thing. We need to just. Think about how we do things. Maybe we start pulling. Glenn Beck's been talking about this recently. Maybe we start pulling our money out of these big banks and putting them in local small credit unions.
Yep.
Where when you become a member of a credit union, you actually have a vote. You have a say in how things go.
Right.
It's more personal.
Yeah.
Because with what you're talking about and the moving of funds, like that's crazy.
Yeah.
And something else that's crazy is that the federal government in America this year has been trying to have that $600 spending limit. So like, if you spend more than $600 on something, you have to report it to the IRS as to what you bought.
You have to give an account of the purchases mm-hmm. you make with your money that you've earned.
So it's like if you buy a brand new computer, you're going to have to report that.
Right.
That's crazy.
It is crazy. It is crazy. But you know what that does? How much do most guns cost?
Oh yeah, yeah.
You know,
but it's just constant tracking.
It is,
and
it's none of their business.
No, it's not. And
you no longer live in a free society. That's the problem,
right?
You just don't. And I know, you know, at times during this conversation, I have sounded frustrated and angry. And I, if anybody's offended by that, I apologize. But it's just like, you know,
and I don't either.
It's just sometimes these things just, you know, they create a frustration. And
you said earlier that you got to pick a side. So
you do have to pick a side.
So if you said something that offended somebody, that's on them. You've picked your side.
Yes, I have.
And so it is what it is.
That's a good point.
You know, this show is a venting show.
Yeah.
It all stems from the trucker convoy.
Yeah.
It really does. What they're doing up there is laying the foundation of a revolution globally.
Right. But you see how many places these
different countries and stuff.
Yeah, different protests are popping up.
Yeah.
Since the, I mean, it's like, who'd have thought that Canada, one of the most passive, nice group of people that there is in the world, that everybody says, hey, and yeah, everybody talks and yeah, everybody's polite and very kind. And these are the guys who have started this.
In times like these, they're the perfect candidate to do it.
They are.
They because are. It's out of left field.
Oh my word.
Catches you off guard.
Yes.
Like, America, it's like, oh yeah, expect the Americans. They're, you know, full of hot air and they throw fits and they get angry, like Merkel, East Coast anger.
Right.
All that. I think they were the perfect candidate and they're doing it so well.
They are.
They're doing it so well because they are peace and love.
Yep.
Even if some of the truckers that are true truckers there have gotten out of hand, it's a fringe minority.
A very small.
These guys are awesome up there and they are laying the groundwork, the foundation of a global revolution.
Yeah.
And the way they're doing it, they're showing the world how to organize a national campaign that's effective and using, it doesn't have to be just truckers.
No, it doesn't.
So it can,
and it shouldn't be just truckers.
No, it shouldn't. So like there's a direct impact when it's the truckers.
Right.
Without the truckers, you don't get anything at your house.
Your poop doesn't show up.
You're in trouble.
Yep.
You're in trouble.
You got it.
And that's from the ivory tower down to the plebes.
That's right. That's from Trudeau all the way down.
Exactly.
Yeah.
But it can be all industries, yes. You know?
And it should be.
If you're in an industry that is affected negatively. Thank you.
You're welcome.
from something like this,
mm-hmm.
you can be part of it.
Right.
And there's power in numbers here. Like we've been conditioned to think that, you know, we elect these people and hopefully they do what they said they would do and not right. do the opposite. And we just got to put up with it. And here in America is, well, we can vote for somebody else in 4 years. And, right. you know, I just can't wait. We got to suffer through these two years and then we can, you know, have these Senate votes and da, 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 da. And, you know, it we get so used to like our vote is our weapon.
Right.
In today's new world, your vote is not your weapon.
Right.
You are the weapon.
And you know what? It's in today's new world, it's yesterday's old world. What did they do in Boston Harbor?
Right.
You know?
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
Absolutely.
They said enough of this crap.
Enough.
Enough of you enough. Over there in England telling us what we're going to do.
And that's what gives me, and as somebody who is a very pessimistic person, that's what gives me hope.
Right.
It gives me hope looking at history that the human race has come across really tough times and they've persevered.
Yeah.
I just don't know if we're at the level of perseverance yet. Do we have to suffer more before we really persevere? I don't know. But I am seeing the foundation being laid in Canada.
Yeah.
And the blueprint on how to really have an effective, peaceful revolution. Right. And that's the thing, man. Like, we want the peace.
Yes.
Like we don't want violence.
Right.
Like, unlike some other organizations.
Right.
We just want our lives back.
Yeah.
We want normalcy back.
Yes.
And we just want to be left alone.
Right.
And I just think that people have to understand that the people that are making decisions in these countries
mm-hmm.
are outnumbered a lot.
They're not the ones.
They're not the ones that do anything.
Right.
They make policies, they vote on things, but they're not the ones that actually make economies move.
Exactly.
If the people who make the economies move, like the truckers and other people in other industries,
mm-hmm.
say enough's enough, and they sit on their butts and they say, I'm not doing it until right. you stop doing what you're doing. Not give me things. Right. We're not saying give me things. This is my list of demands and I want this, that, and the other. No, we just want you to stop doing what you're doing. That's right. all we want.
Yep.
That's all we want. They are not up there saying we want 5 more weeks of vacation. We want more money. We want this, that, and the other. They're just saying we don't want anything. Right. We just want you to stop doing what you're doing.
Yep. Get out of the way.
It's beautiful.
It is beautiful.
It's beautiful because it's such a selfless revolution they're doing up there. It's just like we don't want anything. We just want our lives back. Like stop, just stop.
Right.
And I think that it's going to be. I just feel as somebody who's very pessimistic. I get the sense that this really might work, and it, in a sense, it's gotta. It has to at least set the train in motion of what's to come, because if it doesn't, we lose there. Because I don't know if there's ever been a time in our global history as a human race where there's been a global effort to come together as one structured government globally.
Right.
That's what the Great Reset's all about.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and so if the great reset were to succeed, I don't know how we bounce back from that, because on the roadmap to their utopia, our dystopia, the roadmap to that, if that is not enough in that process to get it to stop, once we arrive, I mean, like if you didn't have the fight in you on the process,
right?
Once you arrived and they got you totally enslaved, I don't know how, because you got to think like, I got fight in me, and you got fight in you,
right?
But we're on the road to dystopia, their utopia. Once we get there, my kids, their kids, my kids' kids, mm-hmm. are not going to know the world the way we knew it. Exactly. So they're going to look at the utopia dystopia as normal, and they're just going to accept it. The fight has been erased out of human race.
Well, you know, what they're doing is as they're moving forward towards their utopia, our dystopia, they're burning the bridges.
Yep.
So there is no going back.
No. And so I really hope that,
I hope it works
because like we are at a pivotal point in human race history. Like it's that dramatic.
It is.
It's that dramatic. It is.
And a lot of people like to just, you know, let it, whatever's going to happen, is going to happen, you know, kind of a fatalistic view of things. Whatever they're going to do, they're going to do. And it's nothing I can do about it. There is something you can do about it. There is. Stand up. It's about time that the people, the citizenry of not just this country, not just Canada, but around the world, stand up. Stand up and say no. And stand up and say yes to yourself. Say no to those who want to rule you, to those who want to tell you, you have to do this, you have to do that. No, I don't have to. What I have to do is stand up and be true to myself. I have to stand up and stand up for my own convictions and be an individual.
So,
and no, we're not going to have automated trucks tomorrow.
That's what I'm actually bringing that up now.
I knew I could just see it in your eyes. It just like your eyes were flashing automated.
I'm friends with Shepard Imbalas. He runs intelhub.com. It's at one time one of the biggest news websites in the world. And he put this tweet out. Now I don't necessarily agree with him, but let me just read this. He says, you've been duped again. The trucker convoy is a ruse to take away all truckers, supplies, and protesters of freedom and kick them up. I mean, maybe he meant out. Shipping will come to a dead stop and supplies will be scarce. A new generation of AI trucks is being rolled out. Now that I agree with, but I don't know what he means by this, and maybe I'll ask him. The trucker convoy is a ruse to take away all truckers, supplies, and protesters. That would, to me, suggest that the organizers are playing you. I don't believe that at all.
Right.
But this is something that I think should be thought about in a very real sense that, listen, the truckers are, they're not working. And I think that there's going to be a lot of chatter about automated trucks as a solution to these truckers.
There's going
to
be an awful lot of chatter about
I'm not saying it's coming. I'm just saying the chatter.
I get you.
And,
I totally agree with you there.
I just think that this situation, there's good and bad, right? Like with any major thing that you that you're doing, there's good of it, there's bad of it. You got to weigh things out. And the premise, the motivations of the convoy, it's pure. I agree with it.
Right.
But there are fallbacks. There are negatives to it as well. And I think that this is one of them where it's going to open up the conversation on a very much more of a mainstream level as to how do we get rid of these truckers so that they're not a problem in our butts anymore. We got through that. Whenever that is, whenever this comes to an end, they can say, we made it through that. We got through that, but we can't ever have that happen again.
Mm-hmm.
And so how do we prevent that?
Sure.
You know?
Sure.
And so let's take another $5 trillion and put it in automation, man. Come on, man. Let's just spend some money, man. Just turn on the printing machine, man, and, you know, print out some more dollar bills, man. America. So I think that just kind of lost my brain there for a second. Sorry about that. But I just think that the automation is something that is going to be heavily talked about and other things. I think there's going to be a big, let's put it this way, take automation out of it. I think there's going to be a big push to get rid of the rebels.
Right.
If you are a rebel, we want to get rid of you. So the truckers, you're a rebel. How do we get rid of you? Automation will be a conversation. Descaling will be another option that I think that they're going to start talking about doing so that we don't have to worry about trucks going from Canada to Florida. Let's scale things back. And that is going to, I think, allow the opportunity for more global governance when you have to scale things back because you need a daddy to watch over everything.
Right.
There's a lot of crap like that. Mm-hmm. So that's what I mean. Like, I think his tweet is half true and not so much. Like, I think a new generation of AI trucks is being rolled out. I think that's something that if it's not happening, they're going to try pursuing it. But I just don't think that the trucker convoy is a ruse because that would suggest to me that the organizers are the rusers, you know? And I don't agree with that at all.
Right.
But go ahead, your thoughts. You think automation's right around the corner, right?
Oh, yeah. They're rolling them out tonight as we speak. So by tomorrow morning, it all starts and it's all done and I don't have a job anymore. And that's fantastic.
Yeah. Wouldn't it be nice to just have the excuse I can't go to work because there is no work, right?
No work.
I think that by 2030, 40% of jobs are going to be gone.
I think what's...
50%, 60, maybe 100. I don't know.
Who knows?
I do think at 30, 40%.
Who knows?
I think that they're chopping industries like crazy. Bill Gates, he owns the most farmland in the country.
Right.
At the same time owning the most farmland in the country, he's telling everybody they need to stop eating meat.
Yep.
So what does that do to the farming industry?
Well, you know, cattle industry.
Cattle industry, I should say. You know, but even just industries surrounding there's so many industries that would be affected. Right.
Yep.
And so
as it is with any industry,
right.
There are other industries that feed into them. That's the way it is everywhere.
So I just think that, I think that jobs are going to be cut back, not just trucking jobs, but I think in general, and this is very dystopic show, guys.
It does have that feel.
Well, because we entered into a topic of the trucker convoy,
right?
And it's not just I'm not. I don't know who Tucker Carlson. Where it's just let me just talk about the facts and tell you what I think is what my opinion is of what's happening right now. I'm a dystopic futurist, which means that I see things very pessimistically, very negatively. I see the future that way, and I read tea leaves as to how I think it's going to all unfold. And so I didn't hit record thinking the conversation would go this dark at times, but it's just the way my brain works.
Right.
And that's why we try to just talk about, you know, truck stories, because
that's why normally keep it lighthearted and it's fun.
Yeah. And I can guarantee you there's gonna be a lot of people who contact us after this and they're gonna say, that was a great show. I want to hear more of that. But it's not what the show's about.
Right.
It's not what the show's about. And so we're gonna cover the convoy when it's relevant. Like if I have Benjamin on to interview, obviously we're gonna talk about it again. And if it comes up through conversation with a guest.
Right.
But this is a very important thing. It affects the trucking industry, but it's also affecting the entire world on a political scale, social scale, everything. It's so huge. And I almost can't believe it's the trucking industry that is, that it, that
I know
it's
that's all spearheading this thing. Yeah.
Like it's like, You know, like I expected
this, to.
Yeah, some dorks, you know, sitting around on, you know, Occupation Wall Street or something.
Right.
Like this is the truckers. Like they're the motor of societies. Like without truckers, nothing happens.
Yep, nothing moves.
Nothing.
And you have nothing on your shelves.
It's amazing.
It really is. It really is. And you know, to me, in my mind, as far as automation goes, it's coming. But it's going to be a long time. There's so many variables. I was listening to Charlie Robinson's show, and he was interviewing I cannot remember.
It was Alex something, like Russian or something, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't agree with him, by the way, but go ahead.
I totally agree with him because he was talking about this. He said he doesn't think it's ever going to happen because there's just too many variables. And when he was explaining some of his, what he was considering variables in, you know, I was like, you know what? I never even thought about that aspect of it. I mean, my whole, the one thing that always came into my mind was the computers and whether or not these things, you know, the way they glitch all the time, the way that there's, you know, even doing your ELD log, the computer in the truck glitches and your log glitches. And it's like, you can never have that happen in a self-driving truck.
Mm.
You just can't. It can never have a moment where it's not being told where to go or what to do. It cannot mistake a child on the side of the road for something that it's okay to run over.
Value.
It's like
the creators, what do they value? It can if they don't value human life.
Well, I agree with what you're saying, but in the world that we're living in, hopefully that we're not going to come to a point where we don't look at human life as valuable, mm-hmm. but there's just so many variables that go in. Every piece of information has to be inputted into the computer for the trucks.
We are.
And there's just so many that not having a human being sitting there. I mean, we can look at it and say, well, everything will be better and everything will be safer when we have self-driving cars and self-driving trucks. And is it really? I don't think it will either.
No,
I'm not saying it would.
Yeah, I know you are.
It won't be any better.
Yeah.
It's just now you don't have anybody to sue when something happens.
You have a lot more people relying on the government for money, free,
right.
You know, universal basic income, all that stuff. I think that you and other people I think it's because of your situation in your life. You are a truck driver. I think you view it from a personal standpoint that they aren't viewing it from. I don't think that they care.
Like you say
several times on the show, you've said you can't have one of those mistakes happen in a truck.
Right.
You can. And if they do, it's meh because they don't care. The agenda is to push automation. The agenda is to get you, Brian Merkel, reliant on me for your money. You need to get your butt out of the truck.
Right.
And we need to get these things driving themselves. So if that means this truck veers off the highway and runs through a middle school, an elementary school, and kills half a kindergarten classroom, chances of those kids growing up to be anything significant, slim. Like it, that's they're sick. Then that's the way they think.
I don't disagree with that. I don't.
So I don't think they value human life the way we value human life.
Right.
And so with that in mind, they don't really care if they're losing a life if it's not their life or a life that they love.
There you go. That's just what I was going to say. They don't value our human lives.
Because we're the plebs.
Because, right. They view their own.
Yeah. And so with the automation, I think they can easily push through that as an agenda, especially with what's going on now. They're like, we need automation truck. So that means let's just get it going, push it. Here's tons of financial benefits to all these companies to switch their fleets over. Get it going. Crash. Doesn't matter. We're collecting data, and that's never going to happen again because we collect the data from this thing and da-da-da-da-da. It push. We've seen them pushing crazy stuff like crazy.
Right?
Like we've seen them push technology. So why would they not push technology in this sense too? And the guy you're talking about is Alex Craner.
Yep.
The episode's called The Lead Up to World War III from Macro Aggressions Podcast.
Yep. was just listening to it this past week.
Yeah, like
I was catching up on some back stuff. So
yeah, so I mean, check it out and stuff. But yeah, I just like I think that you and I both agree that they're pursuing AI driven vehicles. They're pursuing it hard. I think it could happen sooner than you.
Yeah.
Just because I think they don't care about us. So if accidents happen, they don't care. As long as the accident doesn't happen to them or their child, right, they don't care.
See, now I, you know, the eternal optimist in me, or the eternal hoper in me,
I don't got any of that.
Is just saying, look, I hope they're not. I hope they're not that cruel. I hope that they're not that mean. That, you know, I mean, I know it's like, look at, you know,
you gotta watch Hunger Games.
This is like me watching Mad Max, and I'm trying to beg Lord Humongous to give me passage through the wasteland, you know. Like, anybody who gets that reference, you know, God bless you, because you remember. But that's what it feels like sometimes, like you're just hoping that they're not Lord Humongous.
And so
they're just gonna squash us, and they don't really care. I hope they do care enough.
With that,
yeah,
we don't benefit from that kind of thinking. What we benefit is from my kind of thinking, where we see what we make everything in this world an emergency.
Right.
So we act now to make sure that it doesn't get to that emergency.
Well, that I agree with. Let's not.
Nobody believe what he said, and and don't think that my dad, who's 50,
almost 54,
is going to be able to retire truck driver. Don't believe that. He can't. It's impossible. They're pushing an agenda. So believe what I'm saying, which is they're going to push the AI driving trucks like yesterday, right, so that you get scared enough to pursue change now so the AI trucks don't come. And then he's happy because the AI trucks never came, and he retires a truck driver. And at the end of the day, he can say, I told you so. And it's like, yeah, because I saved your ass. No. If it wasn't for my emergency thinking and being active now, you couldn't retire as a truck driver. But if I would have believed what you had to say and been like, hey, it can't happen, it would have happened, and I would have been right. So I'm working to make you right. Just trust me. I'm on your side. I want you to be right. I'm working now. So you have a future, Dad.
So I'm stuck in this
truck. So you can have a future.
I am stuck in this truck.
Future looking out the window.
14 years. Thank you.
You're welcome.
Thanks a lot.
You're welcome. You're welcome. Just looking out for you.
You're amazing.
Yep.
Oh, man, I'll tell you what.
Vroom, vroom. So listen, as we wrap this up here, I want to play a clip here from the Tim Pool Show. They were talking about automation here, and it's just a short clip that kind of actually spawned the conversation we just had, and I wanted to play because, again, I'm a huge supporter of Rebel News and Tim Pool. So if you look up Rebel News or timcast.com, I'm a huge supporter of those people, the information they give, because it's way more accurate than you're used to getting on any of these mainstream medias. So here's Tim.
It does feel like we're winning when you get... It does feel like we're winning when you get stories like the truckers pushing back, them starting to back down. They couldn't pull off what they thought they could pull off. What I mean by that, I mean like these authoritarian political establishment elite types.
But you know what'll come next, right? You just wait. Give this like a couple of more days of the trucker protests, and you're immediately going to see the media flood the zone. Mark my words, screenshot this, whatever. I know we're live. You will see the media pushing stories about self-driving trucks very, very soon as a response to all of this.
Yeah.
Suddenly, and like, I remember, because Yang talked about this a lot, and you're going to say, oh no, it'll be so great, and they won't get in accidents, and time will, you know, they'll be able to travel faster because they don't have the time restrictions that truckers have, etc. That's the next thing that's coming, guaranteed.
So that's kind of what spawned this conversation, that clip. I think you and I listened to it before we even started recording. But that was Jack Posobiec, another great guy to follow him. But he's right. They're going to use that, and they are using it, and they've talked about it in mainstream media already. They're going to continue to. It's going to be a hot, like, once we get through all this, like I said, once we get through all this, the conversation is going to be in the mainstream media. How can we prevent this from ever happening again? Not in the sense of...
They won't ask that question out loud.
No, no, they will. But not in the sense of how can we work with these people so that this rift could never happen again? No, they're going to say that question. How can we make sure this never happens again? As how can we make sure these imbeciles, these stupid, dumb, wheel-turning truck drivers and people like them that support them never rise up and question what we tell them and decree them to do? That's where that question is going to be. How can we make sure this never happens again? How can we make sure these idiots never dare to try that again?
Right.
That's what's happening. That's what's going to happen. And that's where the automated truck conversation is going to pick up a lot of steam.
Man, they got to make automated nurses too.
Do you understand how mad they are now? They're furious because these peasants are rising up. How dare they?
Right, which is what I love.
That's how they feel. They're in their ivory tower and they're just looking down. They're like, look at them down there.
How dare they?
Can't we just bomb them now?
Right.
That's how they feel. They don't like, they hate you. They hate you. You're just there to serve them. You keep the economy rolling so their pockets get fatter and they have the best food on the table for their kids, their family. And if you die in the process, they don't care. It's the mindset that they have. That's the mindset they have everywhere. Some governments are further along than others acting it out. Look at China. That's the mindset they have, and they act it out. They don't care if you die. They cram, and this is Apple does this. They cram everybody in these tight working spaces. It's so unbearable that people were jumping out of windows and killing themselves. So they put up nets to catch
around
the people.
The buildings, I know, right?
We don't improve. Right. We don't improve the situation, so people don't want to kill themselves. Yeah. We just put up nets so that they don't splatter on the ground.
So they can't kill themselves.
So that's in China, right? But that's the mindset of these global elites everywhere. They hate you. Mm-hmm. You're just there to serve them.
Right.
So like I said earlier, at the end of the day, we have the power. We're in control. Believe it or not, we're in control. Without us, they got nothing. Without us, they don't get their finest shrimp on the table every day. Without us, they don't get their goods and services delivered to their mansions and their castles. Right. Without us, they're nothing. And as soon as we understand that as a global citizenry, that without us, they're nothing, the level playing field begins.
Right. I agree.
I'm going to be done ranting now. We should wrap this up.
We should.
because I could lose it again for another 15 minutes.
Yeah. Well, you know, that there's so much to talk about when it comes to these things. There's so much. And there's so many topics to go down. There's so many rabbit trails. And the beautiful thing is that, you know, we still, to a point, have free speech.
So far.
I mean, no, well, we pretend we do because, I mean, when we take a look at our social media, if you don't say what the overlords tell us to say or tell us is okay to say, then they censor you. So we don't really have the freedom of speech that we think we do. But while we still have the illusion of it, it's good to get these things out.
Fake steak tastes the best.
Sure.
That's a Matrix reference.
Yes, it is.
All right, guys.
And it's the only Matrix movie I ever watched. Right? First one.
I watched the new one. I was totally disinterested.
I watched the new one
and it sucked. It sucked. The best part about it was the first half of the movie. First like 30 minutes of the movie was the Matrix giving the middle finger to Warner Brothers, because apparently Warner Brothers came to the directors of The Matrix and said, we want to do another movie. They're like, no. They said, listen, if you don't do it, we're still going to do it.
Right.
It's just not going to be as good. And so they're like, fine, we're going to do it because we're not going to let you bastardize what we've created. So like the first 30 minutes, like there was even a part where Neo was talking about, because at one point in the movie, Neo is like a game programmer.
Okay.
And like, and he even says that like they're referencing how because the game that he made was the Matrix game. And they even said Warner Brothers wants us to make another game. And they called him out basically in the movie.
Okay.
That's the best part of it. Like, yeah. The rest of it sucked.
Did it still have Keanu Reeves?
Yeah. Yeah. All the original characters.
Two movies. Best Keanu Reeves movies ever.
John Wick.
And?
Matrix.
Bill and Ted's Excellent Adventure.
Oh, yeah.
I don't know. Yeah. The Matrix, you know, if I'm sorry.
Yeah, yeah.
Just that, you know, Bill and Ted.
Whoa!
That's exactly. They were. Yo, he was the person that, and John Wick.
Because he actually talks like that. Like,
right.
He didn't have to act at all.
There was no way.
Yo, he's the most, like, from what I've been hearing and seeing, he's so generous and kind. Yes. And like, apparently he still rides, like, you know, subways and just, like, just a real.
He's a genuine person.
Human being, you know? And I respect that.
He hasn't gotten caught up in the Hollywood of it all. Which is really cool.
That.
Yep.
100%. He's been at it for a long time, too.
Yeah, he has been. I mean, like, Bill and Ted came out, I mean, how many years ago?
I think
ago?
He gives a lot of it's money like away, too. Like, a lot of his wealth goes away, gets given away.
It shows my mentality level, doesn't it? Bill and Ted and John Wick.
Yeah. Comedy and slit the throat. And,
yep, there you go.
Yeah. All right, guys. Listen, we appreciate you listening if you made this far. And if you made this far, chances are you haven't blown a fuse totally.
There you go. And one of these days in the future, we will do... Hammer Lane Legends movie review night.
That would be all you then, because I don't,
you don't watch anything.
Yeah. Or maybe we could do Tony Watch This Week and review that movie.
It's gonna be a short show.
Is there trucker movies? I'm sure we could do trucker movies.
Over the Top.
Over the Top. I've seen that. Convoy, never saw that.
Oh, you should watch that one sometime.
Yeah. We should make a list of all the trucker movies out there and just start working our way through them and then do like review episodes.
Well, I've already seen most of them, so.
I'm sure you have.
Yeah.
All right, guys. What am I missing here? Oh, share the show.
If
you made it this far, share the show.
Yeah.
If you agree with me, share the show. If you don't agree with me, maybe somebody else will agree with me. Share the show.
Share the show.
If your feelings are hurt, don't email me about it because I don't care. Am I missing anything?
No. Just hit all the major media platforms.
Yeah.
Share the show.
Text it to the haters. Text it to the lovers. All that.
Yep. Exactly.
All right, guys. Until next week, keep the hammer down
in the hammer lane.
Bye.
Oh, Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. Now, I don't know if you've heard, but Mint's premium wireless is $15 a month. But I'd like to offer one other perk. We have no stores. That means no small talk. Crazy weather we're having. No, it's not. It's just weather. It is an introvert's dream. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
Upfront payment of $45 for 3-month plan. $15 per month equivalent required. New customer offer first 3 months only. Then full price plan options available. Taxes and fees extra. See mintmobile.com.
Hey, Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. Now, I don't know if you've heard, but Mint's premium wireless is $15 a month. But I'd like to offer one other perk. We have no stores. That means no small talk. Crazy weather we're having. No, it's not. It's just weather. It is an introvert's dream. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
Upfront payment of $45 for 3-month plan. $15 per month equivalent required. New customer offer first 3 months only. Then full price plan options available. Taxes and fees extra. See mintmobile.com.